The theme of our Philippians is about kenosis, self-emptying. So now we come to our third meditation, God and the self-emptying, the giving up of power. Luke chapter 4, verses 1 to 13. Full of the Holy Spirit, Jesus returned from the Jordan and for 40 days was led by the Spirit up and down the wilderness and tempted by the devil. All the time he had nothing to eat, and he was famished. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread." Jesus answered him, "Scripture says man cannot live by bread alone." Next the devil led him up and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a flash. "All this dominion I will give you," he said, "and the glory that goes with it, for it has been put into my hands, and I can give it to anyone I choose. You have only to do homage to me, and it shall be yours." Jesus answered, "Scripture says, you shall do homage to the Lord your God, and worship him alone." The devil took him to Jerusalem, and stood him on the pinnacle of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down from here, for Scripture says he will give his angels orders to take care of you, and again they will support you in their arms for fear you should strike your foot against a stone." Jesus answered him, "You are not to put the Lord God to the test." So, having come to the end of all his temptations, the devil departed, bearing his time. We looked at the habits of the elderly Rebecca Broomhead in taking one visitor's gifts to her and then giving them to another later visitor. We interpreted her actions as being caused by a motive of generosity. This led us to conclude she was a generous person. We then linked this to the passage about Christ in Paul's letter to the Philippians, where Christ's actions on the cross revealed the kind of God who is incarnated in him by analogy to the logic applied to Rebecca Broomhead. Next, we applied this process to an investigation of the equating of God with love. We explored the different kinds of love and concluded God appears to have self-emptied himself to have the need of being loved by his creation. We saw this as implications for us. To copy God, we are encouraged to self-empty ourselves of our self-sufficiency and learn how to acknowledge our needs rather than pretend that we have none. Now, we leave heaven and the being of God, the Holy Trinity, and return to Jesus' life on earth and what that can tell us about God and the challenges this brings to us. When I was 18 years old, I was in a pub in Halifax in Yorkshire, having a drink with two elderly regulars at a corner table. As I sat there, I looked up and I saw a pint of beer whistling through the air. It smashed over our heads, and as it did so, all hell broke out. Everyone started fighting, tables were knocked over, beer glasses and bottles crashed to the pub floor. I think this might have been a regular occurrence, as the two old men calmly continued drinking. At that time, Halifax police had a minimum height for its officers. They were all over 6 foot tall and had a helmet that had a comb on the top of it that in total made them ginormously tower over ordinary citizens. Suddenly, the pub doors burst open and a police inspector with a peaked cap and a white cane entered, followed by six of these giant policemen. As they appeared, immediately, the fighting stopped. An eerie silence fell over the pub And everyone started standing the tables up again and placing gently the glasses and bottles back on the tables. Such, in 1965, was the power of the city police force and the respect in which they were held. But since the two old men continued drinking, and so revealed how used they were to such incidents in their public house, it seemed more than likely that next Saturday night the whole affair would be repeated. In other words, the police presence cured external behaviour, but there was little evidence it changed the inner attitude of the revellers. We know in life that to maintain order, we need, at the least common denominator, a threat of force and the power to deliver it. This only, however, contains the problem. It does not solve it. The only way to do that is to change the inner value system of a group or of its individuals. It's in this context and with these issues in mind that we turn to examine the desert temptations of Jesus. As Jesus contemplates his mission, he mulls over how he should approach it. Here, the shortcut to fulfillment tempts him to adopt its methods and form. Just turn these stones into bread. He is tempted to use his divine power to satisfy the creature wants, first of himself in his hunger, and then the people to whom he will bring the gospel. The relief of hunger and poverty, or the bribe of good things in their lives, might induce them, by such bribery, to adopt his message. Until the bread runs out. It, like the police presence, will be superficial. It will be instant, but it will be external. It will not have touched and changed the heart and the inner value system of those who benefit from such power. I'll give you all the kingdoms of the world. Again, such an earthly monarchy, like all previous and subsequent empires and regimes, will compel obedience by the threat of penalty, but it won't change the inner desires of its subjects. Jump off the temple pinnacle and survive. This act might provide irresistible evidence of his divine mission so that doubt would be almost impossible. But like the two previous temptations, all are appeals to self-interest. They are external, based on bribery, coercion, and mesmerization. But they remain superficial to the recipient. The progress of the kingdom of God consists in the uprising within the hearts of men and women of a love and trust which answers to the love which shines from the cross and is for this world the glory of God. This approach was what was made manifest during the rest of Christ's ministry through his preaching, and by the way that he lived and the way that he died. One characteristic part of the way he demonstrates this is that his approach always transcended the immediate problem by changing to a context of self-giving love, which moves the issue to a higher plane where love and forgiveness are the basic elements. This change of perspective and context has the possibility of transforming situations and people by influencing their inner values and sincerity, and not their external self-interest. We need police, soldiers, disciplinary actions to contain actions harmful to people and society, but it's clear this is containment. But a long-term solution has to appeal to the inner changes necessary to heal and thus change human behavior. This approach by Christ reveals the approach that God himself takes. Given the omnipotence of God as creator and sustainer of all that is, the question arises as to what use God makes of this omnipotence. Like the Halifax police force, he could, by his unlimited power, make people behave. But it wouldn't be real. He would have a delinquent creation held in order by brute force. Instead, God empties himself of the bribery, empties himself of manipulative and coercive elements of his power, and attempts to educate and love people into the ways of the kingdom. This voluntary self-relinquishment of these methods challenges us as followers of Christ and children of God to copy Jesus and our Heavenly Father. When we meet in our relationships, in the family, workplace, and neighborhood, the conflicts that reflected the situation in the Halifax pub, we may in the short term have to use power to quell the situation, but this is not a solution. We then have to decide whether to remain at this level in order to suppress those with whom we are in conflict, or lift it to a higher plane that offers a deeper, lasting solution. The self-emptying of Christ posits this challenge. Which route do you usually take when the glass of beer flies through the air in your life?